Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments, where we are going to do the last of our series within a series, as we're going to finish up the collection part 3. So get those Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 28 and chapter 29. We're going to cover both of those today. Now, just by way of review, if you've not listened to the other episodes, this is in a larger series called Proverbs for Leaders. But where we are right now is we're going through a collection of roughly 150 Proverbs that Solomon wrote that Hezekiah and his scribes added in more than 200 years after Solomon's death. So this is a compilation. Sometimes they fit very well together. Other times they do not, and they're more of a miscellaneous strand. But today there's a really nice fit. But we're going to start with actually Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. We're going to back up into 28, and then we will conclude with the end of chapter 29. So you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. But Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken without healing. Folks, we need to listen in order for us to learn and in order for us to live. We can live, but we can't learn without listening. And what Solomon is saying here that Hezekiah has added in is, if you are often reproved, if someone comes along and says, you need to stop doing that, and yet you continue to do it, and someone comes along again and says, you really need to stop doing this, yet you keep doing it, and they keep coming back and you keep refusing, what is happening is you are hardening your heart. You're hardening your neck in this phrase, where you're refusing to turn your head to look another direction. And what that means is, when the day comes, when the bill always comes due, you're going to act as if you're shocked that this happened. Yet every opportunity to turn has been offered. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. The key is that last phrase, beyond healing. Healing. My friends, if someone comes to you and offers correction, listen to what they have to say. Don't bow up against them. Don't resist that. Step back and evaluate what they're saying, particularly if they're someone that you trust and you respect. So that's the foundation. But let's back up to Proverbs chapter 28 and let's look at verses 19 through 27. This whole section can be summarized this way. If you focus only on yourself, then you will lose more than you win. We think that by hoarding things, that always just taking things in and nothing ever going out, that is a great thing. That's the way to live life. Grab those possessions, grab those gadgets, grab those things, keep all that money, because that's what's for me. I'm going to win. Well, actually, you become just like a stagnant pool of water. It's not nourishing. It's not refreshing. It's not cool. It has mess all over it. And quite frankly, it breeds mosquitoes. So that's what Solomon is going to dig into here. Look at verse 19. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. My friends, the worthless pursuits is huge here. Should you work in the field to feed your family? Yes. Should you only work to feed your family and not help others? No. John Piper wrote a book years ago called Don't Waste Your Life. And it's a book that I come back to about once every couple of years, because he hammers home one point that has stuck with me. He knows, maybe God gave you that promotion, in that extra salary, not so that you can buy a bigger house, not so that you can go and buy another car, not so that you can buy the latest gadget, but so that you can take that money and use it to bless others. This verse right here really gets us to step back and look. What are we spending our lives to gather? Is it worthless pursuits or is it worthwhile passion? Verse 20. A faithful man will abound in blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Shortcuts are problems. Plain and simple. You know, I've said it this way before, that shortcuts are neither short, but they do cut. And this aspect of hastening to get rich, I mean, I know I faced this when I first married my wife. I saw all the things that my parents had, and I wanted that. But I did not see the 30 or 40 years that they spent working towards what they had. We had this get-rich-quick mentality. But life doesn't work that way. You know, I am fascinated by people that will climb Mount Everest. And you see what they do, but as they reach different camps, as they're climbing higher and higher and higher, they have to pause for a couple of days at those camps so that their body can acclimate to that lower oxygen before going forward. If they continue on, they do so at grave risk of their own life. That's the same thing here. If you are so focused on getting rich quick, what's going to happen according to this verse is you're going to face punishment. You see people that have taken shortcuts by embezzling other folks' money, the bill always comes due. And when you're caught, you will pay the price. Verse 21, to show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread a man will do wrong. In other words, no favors. You don't look at other folks and go, oh, I'm going to treat you different than this person. No, we are all God's creatures. We are all created by Him. We are all loved by Him equally. And we need to treat others the same way. The latter part of this about for a piece of bread a man will do wrong, it talks about the heart. That the heart will compromise to get what it wants when the heart is not rightly related to wisdom. It goes back to this aspect. If you're only focusing on yourself, then it becomes easier to let those principles go, to get what you want. That's dangerous ground, because that is prideful. And we know what Proverbs says about pride. Look at verse 22. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. If you live this life and you have untold riches, the biggest mansion, 40 cars, servants, a pool, you got a jet that you can fly around the world wherever you want to, you know what happens when you die? You leave all that behind. You know what happens when you get sick? That money, that wealth, none of that helps. In fact, what you end up discovering when the storms of life hit you, your savings account means nothing. That's what he is talking about here. It's what you hold on to that shows who you really are. Verse 23, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Having hard conversations with people, it's called a hard conversation for a reason. It's not easy. But you shouldn't just flatter someone. If you're only going to flatter them to get something from them, you don't care about them at all. And what's going to end up happening is you're only focusing on yourself, so you're going to lose them in the end. There are some people that I have met that will go to a church to make business connections. And when they have exhausted the business connections at that church, they will go to the next church. That right there creates problems for you, because you lose in the end. And what I mean by losing in the end is you don't have things in life that matter. People are what matter in life, not a house. That's where we lose our way, because we are inundated with a culture that is me first, always. So let's look at verse 24. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, "That is no transgression," is a companion to a man who destroys. Interestingly enough, Jesus Christ would speak about this in the New Testament, where the Pharisees, the religious rulers, would say, "Corban," they would use this phrase where they knew they had elderly family members that needed help, but they would say that this money, oh, that's being devoted to God. Can't use it to help y'all. Sorry. But what does this verse right here say? They're robbing their father and mother. They're saying it's no transgression. I'm serving God. I need to serve God, not you, Mom and Dad. Can't you understand that? But then this says that it's a companion, the one who destroys. You are not only destroying your character, you're harming your family, and you're maligning the name of God in the same process. All because you focus on yourself instead of others. Verse 25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. Your desires determine your deeds. Whoa, let me say that again. Your desires determine your deeds. If you're greedy, you're going to stir up strife to be a benefit for you. If you trust in the Lord, you're going to be enriched, not necessarily given wealth, but you're going to be enriched because you will have a life with Him for an eternity. Verse 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. The separator is very simple. Do you spend more time chasing wealth, or do you spend more time chasing wisdom? That's the great separator. Well, Joel, can't you have both? No. You pursue one or the other, not both. What does Christ say? No man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and what? Money. If you only focus on yourself, you lose in the end. Verse 27, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Generosity and greed, folks, they take different routes. If you're generous and you give to others, you will never lack anything in your life. You know, I remember as a boy leading or learning about the story of the widow's mite in the New Testament, where, you know, these religious rulers or the rich men would come in, and in our modern culture would give a dollar to the coffers, but they would do so with 100 pennies. So you would hear the clanking of all these coins in there, like, oh wow, he gave so much. And then this woman comes in and tosses in 2 pennies. You hear nothing. But Jesus said she gave more than they did because she gave everything she had. It's called the widow's mite. I saw that in action when I went on a mission trip to Africa. These people that had nothing and were giving what little they had. That was convicting to me, because I know what I give to the Lord. And I know what I keep back, and that in essence is the heart of this. What are you keeping back? What you hold on to shows who you really are. You know, this aspect of only focusing on yourself means that you'll lose more than you win. Back in the 1700s, there was a pirate captain by the name of Henry Avery. He deserted a British ship, and what he ended up doing is he became a pirate. He chased the Spanish during the War of Spanish Succession. You know, those sides were using privateers. They were legally sanctioned pirates by government to stop and deal with shipping. He became a pirate, was known early on as the king of pirates. He was so powerful and had so much money that he bribed a colonial governor Think about that. He bribed a colonial governor, not just that he would be able to have safe passage and safe harbor, but that this colonial governor would take his stolen goods and sell them for him. The governor making a little bit of profit, him making a little bit of profit. So he was living like a king. He decided, you know what, I'm going to go home. And he was taking some of his stolen goods, and he captured a massive prize, and he went to this other area, and he was going to do the same thing. I'm going to bribe more officials. That didn't turn out so well. He actually went home to England. And the local officials told him, "We know who you are. You were a pirate. We know that these are stolen goods." They swindled him, because who could he complain to? He's a criminal. If he goes to complain to the local authorities, he's turning himself in. And he ended up dying penniless. Why? Because he only focused on himself. And by only focusing on himself, he ended up losing in the end. This, my friends, is a hard thing for us to understand, because our culture is so steeped in materials. But I want to wrap this up by looking at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Solomon writes, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." If you fear man, then you will chase money, wealth, whatever. Fill in the blank there. But if you fear the Lord, you will chase wisdom. And then your life will reflect it. It's either fear the Lord or fear man. And that choice sends you on a very specific route. As we wrap this up, I want to leave you with two things. Number one, what you fear determines what you follow. If you fear man, then you are going to do everything that you can to keep yourself safe in this world, which is hoarding goods, acquiring money, whatever, fill in that blank. That's what you're going to do. But if you fear the Lord, you're going to be less inclined to hold on to things, because you know you can't take them with you, and you're going to be using them for the benefit of others. Secondly, if you always have to win, then you will lose in the end. One of my own children has to be the best at everything. They have to win every game that they play, and if they don't, then they get upset and they storm out. Well, no one wants to play with that kind of a child. No one wants to always be the one that has to be told what to do. So they're like, "Well, why won't people play with me?" Well, have you ever considered the attitude here? We see that very simply in the lives of our children, but as adults, we don't see that as easily. So in wrapping up this final piece of the collection, these 150 Proverbs that Hezekiah added in, it all comes down to the conclusion right here, that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Don't seek your own safety. Seek your salvation in the wisdom of God. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you